right, we're going to start your exam now. You might feel a little pressure.
Okay.
Oh, what's that?
It looks like frog or advanced. Now let's keep moving.
Doctor?
Oh, that's fine, nurse. That's just Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Now, moving along.
Yeah.
Hey, is that Spider-Man?
Game Boy Advance. More games. More fun. Rated E for everyone.
Have you seen my shorts?
Welcome to Connectivity 197. With me today is Adam Abunasar.
It's Curvy Adam Abunasar.
Okay. And Carmine Red.
I see playcross puzzles everywhere.
You've been playing Pokemon Picross?
Picross?
I think it's Picross.
Oh, I always pronounce everything wrong, and then it gets stuck. I still call Chocobo's Cocobo's.
Ah. I used to call Chow's KO's.
Wait, are they not KO's?
Sonic.
Like Chaos Emeralds?
No, they're called Chow.
Hmm. I think I've called them KO's.
No, the little like furry guys that you
raise. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about the Game Boy Advance. A little bit about, you know, the history and our experiences with it. Just a chat about the GBA, but first we'll jump into whatever we've been up to. So, Adam, what's new?
I haven't really been playing much. Last episode, I think I was playing the game about the astronaut in space that you like text on my phone, and it turns out that there's
you're also playing the smoking game. Did you quit smoking yet?
I quit the smoking game. I quit playing this fucking game. But there's actually a sequel to the astronaut game that picks up like right after that. And I was really excited when I found it. They were like, it's a dollar. And I was like, all right, fine. You can have my dollar. You deserve it. I played through that. And I'm like kind of depressed now because it's gone. You know, my astronaut friend.
Did he die?
Yeah, it's weird. At the ending, it said, like, you got the best ending. He died. This is the beginning of his adventures. And I was like, what?
What?
I'm
confused.
It was really weird. He was just
he's just going to get all metaphysical?
Yeah, he's pulling
out. Did he die by entering, like, the fourth dimension and go all interstellar Christopher Nolan on you?
Yes. I mean, spoilers, yes. But then it said, like, you can keep in touch with him by giving us your email address. And it's supposed to be like signing up for their newsletter. So I gave him the email and he was like, you should have an email from me now. And I went and checked my email and there was no email. And I still haven't gotten an email from this company. So I'm like really sad.
Because
they
told
me, they sent me an email, but they just killed him off.
It's playing with your emotions.
It is. It's hurtful. I think that's all I've been playing. I've been researching the new Barbies. So that's been taking up a lot of my time. So I'm not really like a big Barbie fan, but I might buy a Barbie.
You need to buy all of the Barbies.
Buy all the Barbies, every single one. I guess
all the new
ones. The time to get started. It's like Amiibo. If you can get in on day one, then then you can actually justify keeping it up forever and ever and giving you time.
If you get in year 57, then you can catch up. But no, I found out that there was a Barbie in the 90s, teen Barbie, and when you pushed her button, she goes, math is hard, and things like that. Like, let's go shopping.
Oh, wow.
I know, I'm learning a lot about Barbie.
Just like Malibu Stacy. Wow.
Yeah, just like Malibu Stacy.
Sometimes Simpsons is amazing. It's like, I can't believe that's not real. They're just spoofing it. And then you're like, oh, wow, that's actually what it says.
Oh, there's actually a new Barbie, kind of like a game Barbie, called Hello Barbie. And it hooks up to Wi-Fi. And then you hold a button on it to talk to it. And then it gets sent off to servers somewhere in the world. And then comes up with a response and sends it back. And then based on your responses and the responses of all the other children in the world, it, like, they add new stuff into the database. Like, the example I read was if a lot of little girls were talking about Taylor Swift, then they would program in things for Barbie to say about Taylor Swift. And that came out around, like, Christmas time. And I think that's really weird.
Wow.
That there's, like, Barbie Siri out there, like, talking to children.
Yeah, I know. People think Apple's making a car. They're actually making a Barbie.
Yep.
That's what their secret department's probably working on.
And they're making a Barbie. I wonder what body shape she'll have, though, because now there are four different body shapes. But about that, there's the original one, then there's tall, petite, and curvy. And what makes me really angry is that Barbie is already really tall. And they made an even taller, skinny Barbie, which didn't make any sense to me. But yeah, that's, I guess I haven't been playing many games.
You need to, you know, go back into the backlog and play like Barbie's figure skating and stuff like that.
Actually, there are some really good Barbie detective games for computers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
are they hidden object or like actual point and click puzzles?
They're point and click adventures. And we had the first one when we were kids and we played it all the time. And every time you played, it was someone different who stole like the money. And a couple years ago for Christmas, my sister found the second one online and got it for me. And I never ended up playing it, but I'm thinking about live streaming it.
Dude, point-and-click adventure games are always... I just love the genre so much. I will watch that live stream.
You're going to watch
Anyone remember Fatty Bear's birthday surprise?
No.
No? No? Well, that is a great point-and-click adventure game. Okay, never mind.
I also have the Blue's Clues point-and-click adventure, Blue's Birthday Adventure. And it's actually massive. It's like four discs or something. So
dang!
I know, it's huge. You know, Blue's Clues had money back in the 90s, so it's like...
Is that like FMV or something? How do you justify four CDs?
Yeah, it's like... I think it's like video. Like, it looks like the episode, because, then you click and it plays, like... So it's pretty high quality.
Okay. Because that's like Wing Commander size of game.
Yeah, so those are the games I'm going to play, so you'll hear more about those soon.
That's good. Looking forward to more Barbie coverage. They need to bring back the cupcake dolls. Do you remember those things?
No.
Yeah, they're like dolls that turn into cupcakes, but like underneath the skirts, they smelled like cupcakes.
And what?
It was like really good smell. Yeah, okay. My sister had one.
Yeah,
anyway.
You go looking on YouTube for that.
Yeah, well, you know. yeah, the skirts were like the sides of like a cupcake, you know, like the paper. It was like that sort of stuff. But yeah, they were scented.
I can sort of picture them back. It'll probably come back to me as I lose an hour of my life on YouTube.
There's probably a fan base collecting them somewhere. Anyway, Carmine, you wanted to talk a bit about the whole Fire Emblem thing, right?
Well, I just... it's actually really interesting. I mean, like, it's sort of like Nintendo's in a damned if you do, damned if you don't with Fire Emblem, aren't they? I mean, either they leave it in, they leave this stuff in, they leave the... So, like, for example, there's this conversation where it's where it can be read as like gay conversion therapy and like roofieing somebody or adding something to their drink, adding a chemical or something, a potion into their drink without them knowing, which is, yeah, basically moving another character and that being like a part of the storyline. And that's not there anymore in the American version or the European version. And on the one hand, it's sort of like, yeah, that I don't, even if that is, and then there, you know, some people, you can say that maybe, oh, it's just overblown and it's not actually that, but I feel like it's just dangerous to even approach that. And then there's, it's like, okay, so Nintendo of America's removed that. And then, is that good? Is that bad? How do you feel about it? Everyone has different feelings. I'm pretty sure that Nintendo of America's lawyers have very clear feelings and PR and marketing people have very clear feelings on whether that's a good or a bad thing, though.
Yeah, because I remember it wasn't like, because like that was like the initial sort of evaluation of that scene was actually not quite as bad as what people originally thought, right?
Well,
slightly less.
It's we can argue about like,
yeah, we could argue that
degree
point,
but... and interpretation, but yeah. The fact that we're arguing it means we're probably getting into a dangerous place.
It seemed obvious that Nintendo was going to do that back when that whole thing first came out anyway. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't really surprising to me when I read, like, they're going to take that out. I was like, oh, yeah, well, I saw that coming.
It's pretty defensible. I don't know. I feel like it's a pretty defensible action. And then they also took out, like, a petting minigame. It turns into sort of Senran.
It's a face.
Is that really
game.
Like you see another character there, and you just like on the DS caress their face or something?
Yep, that is the whole mini game, and it like levels up your like affinity between each other.
Oh, okay.
But it's not as bad as some of the other DS. 3DS games out there, though.
No,
which are like full body.
I don't know if it's full body. I think it's just like shoulders up, like face touching.
So like you just pat their heads and you become more better friends with them. You're like, that's good.
Yeah, but you pat their head for like 10 minutes and then you get S rank and you get married. I think that's how it goes. But yeah, I know that's how it works in real life.
Yeah, that's how it works. It's definitely how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Oh gosh. I mean,
I don't know. That one seems a little more harmless, really. I mean, they probably could have gotten away
with it. It's harmless until you start getting like blowback from like parents, interest groups and it starts becoming a bigger thing, isn't it?
Do you think Fire Emblem is a popular enough series for that to be even register on the radar of that sort of scale, like aside from like gamers sort of commenting on it?
It's gonna come out. You can't hide anything these days, and if someone's, you know, sitting down and researching this stuff, they're gonna find that. You know, it's not like the Fire Emblem is some niche product. Nintendo's pushing it hard.
Was it like both genders you did that mini game with, or was it just like females only or something?
No, I think it was everyone in your party. Like, that's how you raised your affinity. And Nick, have you ever played like Fire Emblem?
No, I've never really played them before.
Okay, well, if you have high affinity with someone and they're standing near you and you get hit, then they'll fight with you. So it's kind of nice to have like someone counter for you when they're out on the field. And the only way to build affinity normally is to stand next to each other during battles, and then like you can talk afterwards and watch like little conversations. Yeah. And it's kind of a lengthy process.
They're gonna have to have replaced it with something though. They can't just cut it.
Yeah, that's the question, because it sounds like this is a boost to that system, because it sounds like it's sort of tough to play the game and have to obsess about grouping your characters in certain ways. But
so they haven't announced what they've replaced that with then. They've just said they've cut that mini game.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're gonna do anything. I don't know if they're
maybe they're just gonna rework it slightly or something. surely is that I couldn't see them doing a massive overhaul of like and changing something, or like I don't know. I don't even know how you would replace it. You like just like a menu-based system or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So where do you guys like? What do you guys feel about it? Like, is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Like, where do you fall in, like, the degree of censorship or whether it's admirable or not or what?
You know, the
fact that Nintendo is, like, removing it.
They've obviously, you know, removed it because they're afraid of the reaction that something could cause.
If you were Nintendo, would you have removed it?
If I were Nintendo, I wouldn't.
Yeah, probably because
put it in the Japanese version.
Probably would, or at least adapt it differently. Like, obviously, they're just going to change the way the conversation could unfold, right? Or just replace it with a new conversation, like a new sort of scenario.
I think that probably what they did, they rewrote the conversation to not have that scenario of. By the way, I slipped something in your drink, and now you are attracted to a different gender.
I mean, like, video games have been, like, the localization scripts have had changes before that over the years. Like, there's never a one-to-one translation for games. Like, we never get, like, a literal translation. It's always adapted. So it's not really anything new. It's just, I guess, you know, like, censorship isn't great, but still, like, I mean,
well,
you kind of get so like upset about this sort of stuff, really, can't you? I mean, you can understand why they did it.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I was thinking about it and I feel like, you know, there's no laws against self-censorship and Nintendo is the author of this. It says at the end of Nintendo game, Nintendo is the author. Software for all purposes, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, if anyone has a right to change it, they do. And just because you can say something, maybe doesn't necessarily mean you should. I think, I don't know, maybe discretion is the better part of valor in this case. I'm like, you could go out there and make a statement for free speech and, you know, argue that anything goes in media, but at the same time, is this the one you want to fight your battle over about something that's this uncomfortable?
It's a touchy sort of subject, really.
So. Yeah.
Like, but what do you guys think about, like, just because something is, like, bad or you could be, like, construed as bad, like, where do we draw the line between what a character is doing and what the intentions of, like, the author is trying to say? Like, you could write a really despicable character, but, like, you don't actually have those, like, viewpoints, obviously. You just wanted to write, like, a bad scenario to a character or something. Like, where do you go between writing just, like, a scenario or a character that is doing unfavorable things to, like, you know, people like to connect meaning directly to, like, the people writing it a lot more these days, I think. Maybe it's in the way you handle the writing, but...
I think with video games, it's actually... I think that morality in video games comes from the game mechanics. So it's a question of, you can choose good or bad in, like, some games, but if choosing bad makes you more successful at playing the game, the morality of the game is rewarding you for doing bad things. So if you play games that require you to be a criminal, the morality of the game is, you know, on the side of taking illegal actions. You know, so I feel like you can say, oh, I'm writing this character and it's just this character. And, you know, that's obviously not a good thing. But if the game is rewarding you for doing it, like in this case, you want to see these relationships play out. The game is rewarding you with content. The game is rewarding you with more, with stronger power for spending 10 minutes, you know, handling somebody, whether or not they wanted it or not. That's the morality of the game. No matter how you wrote it, that the real writing of the game is in the mechanics.
But in this Fire Emblem and the last one, I'm not 100% sure, so like I'm only like following this stuff sort of from the outside, but you're the player is mainly an observer, right? You're not actually like meant to be like identify with them, like you're not like a particular character. You're sort of like just the, you're watching it unfold, right? That's the way it's set up. So the storyline and stuff.
I don't know. I thought that this Fire Emblem, because the main character is more of a cipher and you can choose your gender, you're supposed to identify with them more. You're supposed to, and it places you more in this form of I am doing this, and especially with like a touchscreen and a point of view, looking at another character and tapping on them to increase their affection. I don't know. That sounds like you're invited to step in the shoes.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I just thought I'd throw that little question in because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can see cases where you have characters like things, but it's harder to argue that in the case where you have like cipher characters or stuff like that. When you are in a more cinematic role, like something in Trauma Center, where every character is so clearly defined, and you're jumping back and forth between main characters, and they each have very different viewpoints, then maybe you could argue that you're just watching something unfold, and then you see what happens to the characters, good or bad, and judge on that. But I think I doubt that Fire Emblem has as much of that defense.
Yeah,
I just don't think that we're ready for, like, complex characters in gaming, you know? Because the main point is supposed to be entertainment and, like, interactivity. It's not supposed to be, like, really thought-provoking. Like, every once in a while, you'll get something that they're like, whoa. But I think it's really important for things to be really black and white still. You know, the good guys are heroic and just, and if they do anything wrong, they were tricked. Or they're like, you know, an anti-hero of their own story, like, they're running really fast, and they have guns, but it's only because, like, they killed Marie or whatever, it's Shadow, the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I agree, generally. I feel like there's a lot of developers who haven't figured out how to do that, partially because it's an entertainment medium. I think, it reminds me when, like, art, video games as art was a big thing, and I think Miyamoto was quoted as saying, we're not, that Nintendo wasn't making art, they were making, like, you know, they were making, and I think when he explained his stance, my reading was that they were making a product for entertainment, and art is different. So if you're making art, if you're setting out to make a game not to make money, but to actually explore these things, then by all means, I think it makes sense. But if you're going out there to make money, and appeal to an audience, or if that was your main purpose and you're trying to do both, then maybe, then it becomes a different, then you're actually making something different from something that's trying to, something that might be less equipped to handle complex issues. And I mean, traumas, I felt really weird, again, going back to Trauma Center. I think there was a game where somebody touches on like euthanasia in Trauma Center. On one of the DS games, and I just got weirded out. I was like, wow, I feel uncomfortable because this is a very political topic, and I'm being told by the game what is right and wrong. You know?
It wasn't like you had like a choice in that.
No, because again, I was watching something play out, and I was watching the characters say, oh, I thought this, but now I think this. The characters say, no, you can't think that because this is the way it is. That was just weird. And I don't think games have gotten I don't think a lot of games have the mechanics or the verbs or the ways that they can move as an interactive medium that can really communicate these complex things. And I bet there are games out there that do, again, more of the art games. But mainstream games probably don't have all the tools they need to do that.
It also doesn't help when, like, games, I guess, a game script might be written by, like, multiple people instead of, like, a singular author, usually. Like, different people could be writing different segments of the game, so it might, you know, different tone and stuff could interfere with messaging or the way it unfolds. So, maybe also like smaller like indie games, probably, you know, we're going to see that sort of like more sort of complex stuff in story-wise go forward at a faster rate, just simply because the team's so much smaller and they might only have like one guy doing the story or something.
And therefore they can have a more consistent handling of the topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone played Undertale?
No, I haven't.
No.
Yeah, I've not played that either, but I think that's supposed to do all the things that we were talking about.
Yeah, I've heard that people are saying the story is good on that, but I haven't looked into it.
Well, I know that every enemy you can either kill them or befriend them.
Oh,
and like
one.
Yeah, it affects like the world and the characters and the story and stuff. So I think that is kind of what we're talking about, but you know, that's, I think it's mostly like made by one guy, which is not what like a giant game maker can really match.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Ironically, one person, a single snub fighter can blow up the Death Star, but a fleet cannot. I don't know. That, to me, this just emphasizes the importance of indie developers again, because they can explore these things and do it, you know, with much more focus and maybe out of the public's eye, where they don't have to have a giant target on their back, like Nintendo or Konami or Electronic Arts would, you know?
Yeah.
It isn't like this giant statement by a multi-million dollar media conglomerate that everyone's keenly watching and ready to pounce on. It's someone who's like an individual making a statement, or like three individuals making a statement, and somehow that's a lot less threatening when it's coming from a small group instead of a multinational corporation.
Yeah. Okay, so we might move on to the main topic, so we'll take a short break and be back with a chat about the Game Boy Advance.
Attention shoppers! We don't like you! We like your money, but not you! If you find us to be rude, selfish, and greedy, thank you, and show your shopping!
Not fire, not ice, not even a bumblebee can impede the greed in Wario Land 4, only for Game Boy Advance.
Rated E for everyone!
Hey everyone, it's Nick here. Unfortunately, we had some issues with the recording of our Game Boy Advance segment. My audio track, for some reason, was dropping in and out, so sentences got mushed together mostly. So my audio was almost unusable, really, except for, you know, it had stretches where it was okay. It made it difficult to try and salvage just conversation between Carmine and Adam, so I opted for a sort of patchwork-like solution. So I've taken bits and pieces from the overall conversation that are mostly seemed intact. There is a couple of stretches of my audio where it does jump around a little bit, but I think that it is easy enough to still understand what I was saying, even if it has skipped over a little tiny bit here and there. So I might just go over a little bit about the Game Boy Advance just here right now before we jump into the main sort of recreation of the segment. So yeah, the Game Boy Advance, you know, it came out in Japan on March 21, 2001, June 11, 2001 in North America, and June 22 in Australia and Europe. So yeah, the Game Boy Advance also, we also spoke about how there was a whole bunch of accessories and things for the Game Boy Advance. I don't think most of the conversation made it into the segment, but we did discuss things such as the Game Boy Player, the Play-Yan device, which the Play-Yan was an MP3 and MPEG-4 player for the Game Boy Advance. It was a cartridge that was basically a little bit bigger than a GBA cartridge, and it included a headphone jack and an SD card slot. People could throw on music or, you know, encode their own videos for playback on it. Surprisingly, it did actually come outside of Japan in 2006 in Europe, but for some reason they pulled the MPEG 4 functionality, which is kind of weird. Another thing that we did discuss was the e-reader. I was also surprised to learn that recently that the e-reader never came out in Europe, but it did definitely come out here in Australia. I did buy one, but I never really got into buying the cards. It was probably because, you know, I didn't really have much money at the time, and I didn't actually own like Super Mario Advance 4 or some of the more games that supported it more. And I wasn't like, I did play Animal Crossing, but I never really decided to jump into doing the card thing on Animal Crossing for GameCube. We also did discuss how I'm pretty sure that during the like later on after the e-reader was well put in the past, there was like sites online that allowed people to try and download the codes or even do homebrew stuff, which is kind of cool. I might, you know, have to look into that a bit more, but I think that's pretty cool. Another thing that we did discuss also was the Game Boy Advance video cartridges. Now, it wasn't like a ton of these released, I don't think, but they're basically just cartridges with episodes of cartoons on them, encoded with a lot in a, like a low resolution. One of the cooler things about it though was how there were actually full-length movies released for this cartridge, these cartridges. Shrek, Shrek 2, and Shark Tale. Now, I haven't actually seen these in action, but it is kind of impressive that they were able to cram full-length movies onto a Game Boy Advance cartridge, even if the encoding and resolution was pretty small. On the unofficial side of things, we also discussed things like the Afterburner internal front lighting system for the original Game Boy Advance. This was before the SP had come out. I did want one of these at the time, but being a younger teenager, I wasn't really able to buy the stuff online, or even if I had, I probably wouldn't have been able to install it myself. So yeah. Anyway, those are just some of the other things that we did touch on, just quickly thinking, you know, going over some of those stuff just then, just so to fill in a bit of the gaps at what we did discuss. Hopefully we'll be able to do a proper, like, we'll redo a Game Boy Advance segment in the future, maybe in a few months' time, once we're sort of feeling like we can jump back into it and not feel like, you know, we're going to re-record something and it won't turn out quite as well. So, yeah, look forward to that in the future, and I hope you get something out of this Stitch Together segment, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with a segment all about Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. If we would like some comments about, you know, the Game Boy Advance or even the Pokemon games. So if you want to send us an email at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com or catch us on Twitter, which is at connectivitynwr, we'll try and include some comments or questions about the Game Boy Advance or the original Generation 1 Pokemon games. So thanks again, and see you in a couple of weeks. And we're back. Now we're going to talk about the GBA. So let's just jump straight into it. The Game Boy Advance came out in March 2001 in Japan, June 2001 in North America, and also June in PAL land. I'm guessing that was around the time it came out in Australia. I picked it up pretty early on, I think. I had a bunch of money from like my birthday and stuff, and I only just had enough to buy the hardware, and so I just bought the hardware and was playing like Pokemon Silver on it. And it was sort of like, oh, it's so cool, I can make the screen stretched and not stretched. did you guys pick it up early on, or was it sort of like later, like once the SP had hit or something?
No, I got it.
Yeah, it was pretty early.
I like sort of tricked my family into buying it for me, where I had a bunch of games and I would rent them to my sisters for like an hour for like a quarter. So I ended up taking all of their money, like their little girl savings accounts, to the store to go
You are
buy myself a
horrible.
Game Boy Advance. Hey, it's okay, man. I
This is capitalism.
yeah, that's how it works. But yeah, I got that, and then I got Super Mario Advance with it, which was just Super Mario Brothers 2, but
And
you
I
know, you can't
got
have
as
an
well.
you can't have a new Nintendo system without a remake.
I think I actually the Game Boys I only ever really got for Pokemon. Like my first Game Boy was the Pokemon Red, and then GB the Game Boy Advance. I remember I was actually in the hospital at the time, and I was a kid, and what they had that charity that comes in and says, "Oh, you know, you can ask for something," and they were like, "Whatever you do, you have to ask for something. You can't say no. You can't say, oh, skip me or something." So I'm like, I feel guilty, but I want like a Game Boy Advance SP, and like, I believe it was Sapphire, Ruby Sapphire, Sapphire. So I go to Cobalt SP and Sapphire, and that was how I picked it up. And the SP was amazing. I love the GBA SP. I'm like, I love the clamshell. I love the fact that it's so small when you hold it down. Fits in your pocket. You can play it one-handed. It's such a great piece of design, I think.
I only just recently, like within the last year or two, I picked up a proper backlighting on it. Yeah, I couldn't afford to get an SP during.
Michael, wow, I got to play, remember, Windy Man from, do you guys remember Windy Man from the site? I got to play his Michael, like, one time when we were down at E3, and he had it, and I was playing it, and I was playing, like, what is it, Dot Micro Games or something on it? Those, like, really indie pixel games, and it was amazing, and I was, like, I had, like, it's, like, one of the few times in my life when I'm, like, I have, like, techno lust for, like, this piece of hardware. The Michaels. I really wish I'd bought one of those. Oh wow. I mean that they're just a GBA in a tiny form, and it's like no one really needs it. But then again, it's so compact. Oh wow. And I don't know, it's really, really neat.
Yeah, they are cool. They're pretty cool. It's kind of crazy. The on the Wikipedia page here, it says that the Game Boy Advance sold around 81 million units. That was as of June 30th, 2010. So they sold a lot of units.
It's probably sold a lot since then.
2010? That's
Doubt
like
it.
9 years after. Probably a lot of resale. When did they stop?
It's hard to, probably around 2007, I would imagine. Because there were still games coming out for it in like 2006, 2007. They probably closed it down around 2007, 2008, I'd imagine.
Yeah, the micro. My sister bought one on clearance for really cheap,
Oh, wow.
and she had a DS. So I was like, "Why did you buy this?" Like, and then I was like, "Can I have it?"
Yeah.
And then like years later, we were moving, and my cousin was in town, and he's a little older than me, but we have really similar interests. Like, I actually just saw him recently, and he's like a system collector now, and like amiibo collector. Like, cool dude. But my sister gave him the Game Boy Micro. And I found this out like years later, and I was like, oh, that was mine. That was gonna be my heirloom. You were gonna leave that to me
Betrayal.
when you died. And you gave Betrayal it away. Betrayal time. I'm really sad. But I guess it's only right. I had an SP kind of right when they came out. And I loved it. It was the most beautiful thing in the whole world. It was red. And for some reason, Nintendo sent me like a coupon where I got like $5 off or something. It felt so special. And then I was a little kid. I fell asleep with it in my pocket. And I peed on it. I peed on it, and it was ruined. I was so sad. So I didn't have an SP. And then my sister lent me hers. Well, I kind of took it from her, demanded it. And then it got stolen, along with my original copy of Tetris. So that's two SPs that I lost. And here's the third one, my best friend's, sitting on my desk, refusing to charge.
I'm sorry, man.
So I have bad luck with SP.
That same cobalt blue SP with a Pokemon Sapphire in, where I put in hours and hours with like working on my team. I left that on the light rail streetcar, you know, like the Muni here, not a bus, but like light rail transit, and that was the end of that. That's a part, you know, I'll never get back. I have fear of like leaving things on buses and subways now. I've lost a couple things that way, and it just hurts too much. Never run out of one, you know. Check all your pockets, because you never know what you're gonna leave behind.
The original Game Boy Advance could run on just two AA batteries, like, and it's just kind of crazy to think, like, you know, like years later that a much more powerful system was running on just two AA batteries.
I think that was still the wonderful times when Nintendo could dictate the pace at which technology advanced, because the Game Boy Advance was not backlit, and it was colored, but it was colored like 10 years after the first colored system came out. So everything the Game Boy Advance did could have been done 10 years earlier, right? With like the links in there. Game Gear did it before. It's just
with four times as many batteries.
Yeah. Six double A's. Oh my god, and that's like four. I think that's a real interesting like fact, because it like points out Nintendo's preferred pace of power consumption progress. You know? Because like when we got into like the Wii, PS3, 360 generation, all of a sudden, Sony and Microsoft started, like, hitting the gas on, like, hardware should, like, guzzle power and, like, race to the bleeding edge, and, you know, that's where we should live, whereas Nintendo was like, but we want our technology to, you know, proceed at a slower pace and use less power and be smaller and be cheaper and all that stuff. So thinking back, I'm like, wow, that actually is perfectly in line with like Nintendo's behavior. The fact that everything the GBA did could have been done probably 10, 8, 6 years before, but Nintendo was probably like, that takes too much battery power. We don't want to do it. You know?
And like you, Carmine, I only originally got a Game Boy Pocket because I got like wildly into Pokemon. So I needed a Game Boy at that point. I was like, need a Game Boy. It took me like 6 months to save Pokemon, but anyway. Yeah, but with the Game Boy Advance, I was fully into video games at that point. Because like, as a younger kid, I had a Mega Drive and I played it, but like I wasn't hugely into games. Like I didn't got lots of games or like read about anything. It wasn't until Pokemon that I slowly started like getting into like the more like the magazines and like Nintendo, and like I got like hooked on it all. So that's why I picked up the Game Boy Advance like pretty much straight away. It was like thing, and I remember going to check it out at like a local shop, and I was like, oh man, the cartridges are so small. It feels like I'll break them or something. But now they look like impressive to me. For some reason, I was like hugely impressed by the sizes of the cartridges.
They are. Because, I mean, at the time we were comparing them to 64 cartridges and CD discs and Game Boy games. And these were small. They're still diminutive. You know, they're only, I don't have them right now, but they were like, what, 2DS? 2DS cards? Roughly?
Yeah. And about one DS card high, probably, just maybe a bit taller.
Yeah, that's still pretty small.
Now, I remember the first time I saw one, someone asked in Nintendo Power what size they were in, like, the mail, and they printed, a picture of an actual, like, this is the actual size, yeah. And I remember it was the F-Zero, and I've never played F-Zero, but I guess I have that game on my 3DS now, but...
Maximum Velocity?
Something like that. Yeah, the launch one. It was right there, and I was like, wow, that's tiny.
But going back to Mario Kart Super Circuit for a sec, like, I think it's a very challenging game, and it's very, like, fun and rewarding to beat the computer in that game. Haven't been, like, brought back since. Like, you can drop red shells and leave them as mines, outrun red shells, you can outrun spinies. There's, like, all these little tricks you can do to, like, that are, like, sort of higher levels of play. You can dodge the blue shell in other games, but it's like not really like they didn't really intend top speed of coins from the coins, and you don't slow down at all. Like if you don't drop your speed behind you and follow you until you finish the race, and it's possible to do that. So yeah, that's really tense because like, if you've got like a spiny following you for like a whole lap of a track or something, you're just like waiting for, don't drop the speed.
I beat both of them when I was a kid, and the story is all right. Kind of the big thing is, like Nick said, it's beautiful, and then there are these four, like, lighthouses throughout the world, and if they light all four of them, then it'll unleash, like, magic to everyone, then everyone will have magic. And right now, just, like, select people have magic. So in the first game, you're trying to stop the people that are doing that, and then in the second game, you pick up as your friends that got kidnapped by the bad guys, and they continue on the quest anyways, and then you meet up with the people from the first one, and they join your party, and you go and you do that, and it's just neat and interesting. The story is kind of basic. You go to a lot of the same like towns like that you would expect. It's nothing too crazy, but it's cool that they did that with the two different games where you switch perspective halfway through.
Yeah, it always seemed so, the value proposition of that was always like the value proposition of VHS, where you spend $20 and you get one or two episodes. And it's like, wow, but there's like, how many episodes of this cartoon out? This is gonna bankrupt me.
But it was like, it is kind of impressive, because I think that company that worked on the compression technology ended up still working for Nintendo. Like, they became like a...
Oh, what?
A division of Nintendo or something.
What company was that?
I can't remember. The compression that was also in, like, other GBA games and stuff. Like, they ended up becoming the company that, like, the Final Fantasy games and all that used that sort of compression tech. I think, yeah, they're still around. I'd have to look into it more, but I'm pretty certain that's the general gist of what happened. And kind of, like, amazing that, like, they compressed, like, full movies onto the GBA video cartridge. So they had Shrek, and they had Shrek 2, full movies. like, and, like, 2 hours of, or okay, maybe, like, yeah, 90 minutes of video. So yeah, I actually was like, the way I got Pokemon Sapphire as well, I was in like a competition in Australia. It was like a competition you went down to and competed in like Pokemon Sapphire event. Selected to go down and start. The way they set up, you basically, everyone started playing the game, then every hour they were tallying. So you had to keep doing like successive rounds like all day. I think I got up to like fourth or fifth round or something, and I was kicked out because I took a wrong turn in Pokemon Sapphire and got stuck. I didn't know where to go because like one of my techniques was just to dump the Pokemon that I'd been playing with and catch like higher leveled ones. And I got stuck behind something, but that was really fun. And that event is actually on Nintendo World Report's website. We had a write up from someone in 2003.
That's like serious, like, wizard stuff. Were they like... What were you doing? Were you there with, like, a power glove, and were you, like, so bad?
It was cool.
Were there, like, 10-year-old prodigies, like, competing?
There were, like, 10-year-olds there, obviously. Like, there was, yeah. they also had like, you know, it was like a big thing, so they had like giveaways. Like, there was like a crowd of people, and they had like hosts from like a local like Australian cartoon like TV show hosts, and they were like throwing wave birds into the crowd, and there was like GameCube set up where you could play like demo promotional event basically, and it was like a few days before Ruby and Sapphire launched in Australia. So that's how I got Sapphire. I probably wouldn't have been able to like get Sapphire for like ages.
Wait, everybody in the competition got Sapphire?
Yeah, they gave you the game that you're playing with. Yeah.
Oh my god! You already win.
They gave you a goodie bag when. I do wonder, what do you guys think if the Nintendo DS never happened? Say the PSP never happened, the Nintendo DS, like, they weren't forced to do the DS. Do you think New Super Mario Bros. Would have been a game for the Game Boy Advance? Like, they'd run out of Mario games at that point. Do you think that was their whole plan along? They were going to release all the old Mario games and then do an original one, but...
That was the...
Shifting
the,
that
no,
to the
no,
DS.
No, I heard that was the goal of New Super Mario Bros. Was... They wanted to make another Super Mario Advance game, but they had run out of games to re-release, so they just made a new one.
Mm.
But apparently that's, like, official. Yeah. I don't remember where I heard that.
Yeah, so the GBA, one last point about the GBA I was thinking about the other day is it's probably the last time that the graphical fidelity of like a handheld was like kind of magical and like super impressive. Like it's like you went from like 8-bit Game Boy and Game Boy Color to like these Super Nintendo graphics, and it seemed like magic. Like, how did they get these graphics onto this little screen? Like, even like game reviewers at the time were like going, "Oh, it's so impressive that we've got like A Link to the Past in the palm of our hands now." And it's like people were just impressed about that. Yeah, I mean, it's so silly, but like I used to like get like amazed by like some graphical effect, like really simple graphical effects in games. Like when I was playing Sapphire, I walked over a puddle and I had my reflection in the puddle. I was like, oh my god, there's like a reflection in the puddles.
I think maybe to your point, Nick, that's why the GBA can still surprise you, because it exists in like a realm of 2D sprite based animation. Well, if that's your starting point for every game, you can be surprised by little touches, because it almost seems like they actually put that detail into there. Whereas if you go to 3D, you start expecting a 3D world with the laws and physics of a 3D world. Whereas if you're going to something that's like hand-drawn, like if you look at a hand-drawn movie, it's like, wow, you know, somebody drew that leaf, you know, floating in the wind. So even a simple thing like what we take for granted in a 3D game, like particle effects, In a 2D game, it just seems, I think, a little bit more special, where you don't go in and you expect everything to be like detailed up the wazoo.
Now, I do think that the Game Boy Advance Pokemon games, are perfect, and I'm really upset that they left that graphical style. Like,
they didn't really. They just evolved it.
No, now you're taller and you're like a crappy 3D model.
Okay, well, the 3DS games, yeah, right.
Yeah, they're ugly. I hate them. I hate them so much. They make me so angry, because I love Pokemon, but then I hate Pokemon. Like, I'm so confused inside. But
you can customize your clothes now.
No, you
That's
can't.
So cool.
No, you can't. You used to be able to customize your clothes, but then they took that away. And now you have to be Brandon or May.
Yeah, Alpha Sapphire.
But I'm just upset because the original Pokemon games had a definite art style, and then the Game Boy Advance ones were an improvement on that. But then after that, they would redefine it every time, yeah. You know? In Diamond and Pearl, they introduced really, really, like, crappy 3D models of buildings. And then that kind of, in Black and White, they kind of fixed it a little, but your character looked really weird. It wasn't the same dimensions as the original ones. And then in X and Y, we just have, like, these tall, ugly 10-year-olds that walk around looking like Bratz dolls with their big heads. And it's just, I don't know, it loses so much charm because it's just another crappy 3D model.
If you'd like to send an email about some of your Game Boy Advance memories, we would like to, you know, read them out on the show on the start of the next episode. That'll be really good. And speaking of the next episode, it will be all about the original Pokemon Generation 1 game, so Red, Blue, or Yellow. So if anyone wants to throw in their copy of the game and reminisce for a little bit, you can also send us in some emails about that as well, and we'll cover that in the segment on the next show. I've been playing Pokemon Yellow. I think Adam's been playing Blue version. Yeah.
And this is my first time playing Blue. I've played Red at least a dozen times, and I've played Yellow a couple times, but this is my first time playing Blue. And let me tell you, it is a change.
Blue version's better. Blue version's different. Better.
Oh, that is
no,
incorrect.
No,
I always buy
not
the
true.
Wait,
not
can't
true.
I can't find a Sandshrew.
I always buy the second named thing on the Pokemon games. Like, ever since Blue has become a tradition, I'll always get like Sapphire or like Silver or what is it? Pearl, White. I always get the second thing in line for some reason. It's like a tradition now.
No, nope. Because you're living out there in the second world. Sorry, I'm sure Australia's really nice. That was harsh.
We have,
But yeah, send your listener mail. If it's actually a requirement, if you want to listen to our show, yeah. You have to send us mail at some point. So we're going to find you. I think we have like a list of names and addresses and stuff, and we're going to start writing you guys.
So that's why I'm soliciting the topic here, GBA memories, or, you know, talk about Pokemon Generation 1. So we've narrowed it down to a topic for you, so you have no excuses. All right, so yeah, that's about it. So thanks, guys, for joining me this episode again.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
It's okay. So, all right, everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with the episode all about Pokemon.
See ya.
Bye.
In the wonderful world of Pokemon.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Great shot! I can almost be Professor Oak from, like, Pokemon Snap. Great shot!